Hey everyone, I'm Scott Branley.
And I'm Alicia Coakley. Every member of the church has a story to share, one that can instill faith, invite growth, and inspire others.
On this episode, we're going to hear how the influence of righteous women helped one mother to shape her testimony of the gospel. Welcome to Latter-day Lights. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Latter-day Lights. We're so glad that you're here with us today on this Mother's Day.
Yes.
And we're really, really excited to introduce our guest to you, Amber Pierce. Amber, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
Yes, and happy Mother's Day to you too. Scott. Scott, you better have done something really nice for Darla.
Yes.
I expect a full report at the end of the show. No.
All right.
Oh. So Amber, thank you so much for being our guest. I was telling you before we started recording this really funny like situation that happened with us. I had done a show with you for the Turtle House, our Turtle House. And I loved you. And I was like, oh my gosh, like you have to be a guest. And so we were already in the works of having you on as a guest. And Scott didn't know anything about you or your story or anything like that. And meanwhile, his wife saw one of either your TikTok, I think it was your Instagrams, one of your Instagram videos. She loved it. And so she told Clarissa, Scott's daughter and our editor, you have to get this woman to be on the show. Like she just has this amazing story. It would be so fun. And Clarissa couldn't find your video to share with me. So she was like trying to tell me, but she didn't have a video. Well, then she ended up finding a video. And this is like a month or two after you and I had already been in the works of getting you on the show. And so she was telling Scott and Scott's like, that sounds awesome. Right. Like, right. Is that what it is?
Yeah, Clarissa
was
telling you. Yeah. She showed me the video. Yep.
Yeah. And so Clarissa shows me this video. And I was like, we're literally already recording with her this week. So apparently I believe Heavenly Father definitely wanted you on. He just put everything in motion, made sure there were no balls that were being dropped there whatsoever. So I'm so excited. We don't even know what your story is. Scott and I have no idea, like hardly anything at all about what you're going to share today. And so we're just super excited. Super excited. So,
this is going to be really fun then.
So for our listeners, guys, you have to go look up Amber Pierce. She does all of these really great short little videos on Instagram and Facebook. And are you on TikTok too or just those two?
Yeah, TikTok and YouTube, all the places.
Okay. Is Left With a Smile. Is that your handle, right?
Yeah, that's my handle. Yes. On all social media platforms is Left With a Smile, except for Facebook. Just search my name, Amber DeBuck Pierce.
Okay, perfect. Because it just makes me so happy. I just like keep watching your videos. I'm like, oh my gosh, like how do you even come up with this stuff? So
I don't even know how I come up with it.
Yeah. Well, you have a very interesting upbringing, and I know that that definitely plays into some of it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself before we get started with your story today?
Yeah, of course. So I was raised off-grid by hippie converts in a huge, very diverse family, 8 children who were adopted, 15 people total in the family. So you can guess just from that. I have got lots of stories. And, you know, I was never actually really comfortable sharing my story. It wasn't until I got married and my husband was always like, we'd meet new people and he's like, you've got to hear her story. And I would just kind of like, oh. But in the last couple of years, like the Spirit kept on telling me, like, I didn't give these experiences just for you, Amber. And I'm like, okay, it's a little intimidating though to get out there. But yes, I've recently just started sharing just little snippets of my testimony. I have a very deep testimony of the gospel and a strong desire to remain unshakable in this crazy world. I believe in miracles and I really want to help strengthen other people's faith in the power that God manifests in our lives every single day. So I share every time I experience miracle or mercy, I share it. And then of course, I share plenty of crazy stories about my upbringing because I gotta laugh every now and then, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And it truly does leave people with a smile. It is so amazing. You know, I think that's one of the things that I genuinely love about living in this day and age is that because of the access that we have to technology, yes, we can waste a lot of time on cat videos, but then there's amazing videos like yours and, you know, that just really help to, I don't know, just kind of like ignite our faith and remind us of the things that are important and bring a smile to our face. Cause our Heavenly Father, He loves us and He wants us to have joy, right? Like He wants us to be happy and to have those good moments. And so I love what you're doing. I love absolutely everything that you're doing. And so we're very excited. So you said you're married now. What else are, you know, are kiddos and where
I've been married for 25 years to an amazing man. And I have 5 kids. All of them are girls except for 4.
Oh,
and
yes. I don't know which makes it worse, saying that you have 4 boys. And then
I know.
My heart sank for a second. I was like, oh, you poor thing, teenage girls. But then you poor thing, you teenage boys.
Yeah. The house is wild and crazy and loud and stinky. Really, really stinky.
Yeah.
But I love it. I love being a mom. I live out in the mountains of New Mexico, actually not that far from where I lived off grid, but now it's populated and you actually can get electricity and running water easily to your home. It's fantastic.
Nice. Bonus.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a seminary teacher. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a teacher, a teacher of all the things. And I love it.
Wow.
Well, we're excited to hear your story about women and mothers on Mother's Day. So why don't you share your story with us today?
All right. Thanks. It's been really fun pondering this. And of course, the first mother I think of is my mom, because she has an amazing conversion story. And her story of conversion always strengthened my own testimony. I remember one day when I was a little girl, kind of like staring off into the sky. And all of a sudden, I was like, what if none of this is true? And it was a very like, oh goodness, what if I'm wrong kind of thing. And I remember calling my mom over and saying that. I'm like, Mom, how do you know it's true? What if none of it is true? And she was just very calm about it and just like, Amber, keep asking that question and you'll find out that it's all true. And that coming from a woman who, she was raised in a very affluent family. Her father was a renowned pediatrician and her mother was a gifted woman in working with kids with special needs. And they were wonderful people, but they did not believe in God. In fact, my mom tells a story of how someone made a joke about David and Goliath and she and her brother are like, who's that? And so she said that her dad, like the next Sunday, they were at a church, like a Unitarian church, just because he's like, people should know whether you believe in God enough. You should know who David and Goliath are, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was her very first exposure to any type of religion. Wow. But yeah, no belief in God. And she always found it curious though, even though she didn't know of God or Jesus, she found herself without even realizing it, speaking to God as she was a teenager and as she left home. And so she always thought that that was interesting. And she was a very free spirit. You know, she went to college and then started drugs and dropped out of college and just decided to hitchhike across Europe by herself. I'm just like,
oh my gosh.
Who does that? But it was while she was hitchhiking across Europe that she actually heard God speak to her for the first time. And it kind of blew her out of the water. Like she was meditating and the spirit spoke to her and basically let her know that she would someday live a life for him, for God. Wow. And she had no idea what that meant. And that kind of went on the back shelf because, you know, she didn't know God. Right. And then she, after that trip across Europe, she landed in a hippie commune in New Mexico. And she was driving down the road in a friend's car, and someone was driving a dump truck the opposite direction, and they knew each other and stopped. And this man leaned out of the dump truck and was like, "Hey, you got a light?" And my mom said, "I'm going to marry that man." And she did. Wow. She married that man. She left the hippie commune for a bit and came back 2 weeks later. They got married. And without even really.
What a great pickup line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally in a dump truck. Like he did not get in a dump truck, right?
Yeah. Nope, not at all.
Wow.
So they started this crazy life together, living in this commune. Neither of them living a very clean life, might I say. My dad was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. My mom she loved her drugs. And it was when my mom was pregnant with her second child, and she wasn't taking drugs while she was pregnant. Thank goodness she was able to do that. Backing up a little bit, my dad was actually a member of the church. His parents got baptized when he was 16 years old. So he went ahead and got baptized with them, but never had a strong testimony. Mm-hmm. Although he always knew that there was something to the Book of Mormon. So once you're a member of the church, people find you, right? So two brave, very brave home teachers came to the hippie commune, dressed in suits, of course, and everyone there was like, FBI, and took off. Didn't want to get caught with their drugs, right? But my mom just sat there because my dad wasn't moving, and she's like, what's going on here? She's very curious as to why my dad wasn't walking away. And then realized that they were from a church. Once again, she was really suspicious because my dad had never talked to her about God. And she was like, okay, I don't know what's going on here. But so she was definitely not the easiest person to talk to about the gospel.
Right.
But what it did do was motivate her, helped her. You know what? She's like, I'm pregnant with my second child. Their friend had died of a drug overdose. One of the mothers there had left their child behind because she cared more about drugs. And my mom just knew that she wasn't an environment to raise children. She was thinking mm-hmm. about her posterity, which, you know, I love. So, long story short, they moved away to get off of drugs while they were there. They met with missionaries, and my dad reactivated, got the priesthood, and my mom was baptized. And she had read the Bible, but when she read the Book of Mormon, she said she read it in 3 days, and said she didn't even have to pray to know if it was true. She wow. knew without a doubt that it was the Word of God.
Oh my gosh.
So wow. That's how things started with her. And I'm so grateful. My goodness, the love of a mother for children that she didn't even know yet, that she hadn't even had yet, that she knew she would have to make that choice and change. Cause it's not an easy change. Right. And even though her family wasn't religious, they thought she was pretty weird for joining the church. And when they moved back to the commune, because that was the home that they owned, their friends, you know, let them do their thing, but they all pulled away because they're like, mm-hmm. we don't want to get narked on. So they kind of had to really find a different lifestyle, but that was okay because all my mom cared about was her kids.
Wow.
So
now did your mom grow up in a big family? Like, I mean, was she just naturally maternal like that because she had a bunch of siblings, or was it just something innate?
She had three older brothers and then her. But so, yeah, but she always, isn't it interesting how God just puts in our hearts? Like she always, from when she was really little, knew she wanted lots of children and was devastated, after her fifth child, when she found out that she couldn't have children anymore. Well, and that didn't stop her, clearly.
Yeah.
adopted 8 more kids.
How did that go down?
So when my youngest sister was about 2 years old, someone who knew my mom wanted more children connected her with, had heard about this baby boy that hadn't been placed because they actually didn't know if he would live. He was in the hospital for 5 months and still only weighed 7 pounds. He had a lot of mental and physical needs, and they just didn't think he would survive. But someone reached out and was like, would you just come look at him? Just come to the hospital and see. And so my mom went to the hospital and she said, one look in that baby boy's blue eyes, and she was done. She's like, that's my boy. And even though she was, you know, warned by doctors, like, this probably isn't the best. Like, he's not going to be able to walk on his own. He won't be able to eat on his own. This is going to be a lot. He probably won't live past 5. And my mom was like, nope, she knew better. She knew that he would be able to live a beautiful life. And he did. He blew away all of the doctor's predictions and ended up being just such an amazing part of our life. So what a vision of a mother to see that. And she's always had that gift to see greater things in others than we see in ourselves. It's pretty amazing. And she was like that with all of her children. Mm-hmm. But after he was adopted, several years later, when I was 9 years old, my parents wanted to adopt just one more time. They wanted to adopt siblings, maybe two. And then they were contacted by an adoption agency where that were having a hard time placing 5 sisters from Calcutta, India. Yeah.
Wow. So it was just one fail, just boom, just all of them, all the kids. Yeah.
Overnight, our family pretty much doubled and we all ended up with twins.
Oh.
Can you imagine doing that as a mother? I'm just like, what in the ever-loving world?
Can't even imagine having them for a sleepover.
No.
Let alone like to live.
It's like, how do you do that? And it's amazing the trust that she had, because it's not like my mom was not employed. My dad, even though we didn't have electricity, he was an electrician. I know. But so it's not like we were rolling in the dough, right? But my mom just always just trusted, like, if God tells me to do it, I'm going to figure it out.
And fast too, is what I'm noticing. Like, she got married really quickly and then she just started having kids and she just
kept
taking them in. And wow. Yep.
She feels something and she goes with it. In fact, the day that my sisters arrived from India, they said, we have a cousin. We have and it was a boy that is left behind in the orphanage. And that week, my parents applied to adopt him.
Wow.
Because they're like, well, we can't leave him behind. So, she is just my mother. Oh, she not only does she nurture children, she nurtures everything. Like any stray dogs, cats, whoever, people, anyone that needs a mother, needs a home. She's very much a nurturer and just needs and loves to love people. Because we also had foster kids coming in and out of our home. There was one of my parents' hippie friends always told their children, if anything happens to me, you call the DeBucks. And sadly, she died of a heart attack in the kitchen. She's in the kitchen and she dropped. And so her children called my parents. And my parents opened their doors, come live with us. They never adopted them because they had a father who wasn't doing his father responsibilities, but they took them in. And it was like that my whole life. Whoever needed home. In fact, this is a funny story. One of my friends from school lied about her situation at home so that she could try and come live with us. Everyone just wanted to be at the crazy DeBuck house.
At the prime, where how many people were there? Like, what was the max?
Oh gosh. At one point, 18 was probably the most.
And how big was your
luckily, plumbing? When I was 9 years old, we did get indoor plumbing. So we had one shower.
Oh my gosh.
Two toilets that worked. Yeah. And a very small water heater. Like you never got warm showers unless you got up at the crack of dawn. but yeah. And at one point, 10 teenagers. Can you imagine parenting 10 teenagers at once?
Nope.
I can't. Yeah.
Nope. I've been to girls camp before. I'm good.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
My mom was pretty amazing.
So how big was your home? I'm trying to think 18 people in like roughly what size quarters are we talking here? Was it
when we first moved off grid from the commune, it was 26 acres and it was this home that used to be a drug house. So my parents got it for really cheap and it was just four walls. It was a rectangle with a loft and that was home. It was very, very small, but outdoors was our home. Right.
Right.
But over time, my dad would just cut a hole in a wall and let's add a room here. I doubt nothing was to code, people. I would wake up in the morning with ice on the inside of my windows.
Oh no.
And so it was just this makeshift home. So yes, when my sisters were first adopted, there was four of us in one bedroom and three of us in another. And then all the boys were together in a bedroom. But we ended up with seven bedrooms. It was so funny when I told my husband that we lived on 26 acres of land in a house with seven. He's like, wow, I am marrying rich.
Yeah.
Little did he know. But yeah, it was just a makeshift home. It did my parents made it. You just make do. You make do. So
wow.
So cool.
It's pretty neat.
That is crazy. I can't even imagine meal time. You know what I mean? Like I what was that show, The Duggars or something, a while ago? 10 years. You remember? And they had 18 kids or something.
Yeah.
I remember watching that show and seeing how they had to function just every single meal.
Yeah.
And going to Costco and they would have carts and carts and carts. It's did you guys grow a lot of your own food or how did you eat?
In the hippie days, in the commune days, yes, we grew our food and butchered our own animals. And my mom cooked all of our bread from scratch in a wood burning oven. But once the family got big like that, that just wasn't possible, wasn't feasible. Yeah. The grocery store trips, it was like three of us pushing carts that were packed to the top and no one got behind us in line. And we had to have someone that was just super, we had so much generosity shown towards us. Someone who, was a carpenter came in and built a table inside the house because we need a table that was so big that it wouldn't have been able to fit in through the door. So they built a big table for us that remained in that house even after we moved. But honestly, my mother had many, many gifts. And one of those was her free spirit and providing us opportunities to be creative and fun and make messes. And cooking wasn't one of those gifts. So dinner time most often was us spending for ourselves.
Yeah.
But it works. Wow. That, like I said, people have this vision of perfect motherhood or whatever, doing all the things. And there really isn't. You figure it out and you have your strengths and your weaknesses and it all turns out okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you think your mom, because I just think as a stay-at-home mom, I only had three. So I had the fraction of what your mom had, obviously. But there would be so many times where I felt so lonely. Like even though I have these little people around me and I have all of these joys and this love and stuff like that, how do you think your mom – kind of tapped into the fact that she was also a woman and she, yes, her role as a mother is obviously like the best thing that she's going to be able to do in this lifetime. But at the same time, there's more to her than just being a mom. How do you think she kind of kept her mental health and her emotional health balanced?
You know, I talked to her about this, and number one, she's like, I must be weird, but I didn't want to be around other women. I loved being with my kids. Wow. And it's true. She would take us on camping trips, take us swimming, take us to the zoo. We would go on so many adventures with us, and she would be so sad when school started. She's like, I didn't know what women were talking about when they were like, oh, can't wait for the first day of school. She's like, I don't want them to go. So she was unique in that way. She really, really was fulfilled in being a mom. Of course, she did need to get away. Let me tell you, she would go to a movie theater and just watch every single movie that was on the screen all day long. If she needed a break, she's like, I'm out. And would just go watch movies, or she would just go hide in her room for a while. And wow. If she needed a little quiet time. So she did find ways to find her sanity. And I know she found a lot of sanity in the gospel as well. Mm-hmm. So thank goodness for that.
Wow.
And you know,
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when these adopted kids did they teach them the gospel? Were they brought like baptized into the church? How did that all happen?
Yeah. Everyone that came into our home, adopted or not, were taught about the gospel. My parents were very passionate about missionary work because it changed their lives. They loved the gospel. So yes, everyone was taught the gospel, and given the opportunity, the choice to be baptized. So all of my adopted siblings did get baptized. Not all of them are active, but all of them believe in God, which I think is a huge win, because there was no concept of God or Christianity in India. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Right. Are you close to all your siblings still?
Yeah. You know what? I am so proud of my family, because I mean, you can only imagine mixing two different cultures, and right. I mean, we didn't even speak the same language, and their sibling rivalry in any circumstance, but imagine sibling rivalry in that circumstance. And there's been lots of bumps in the road, but our family, you know, we have a group text, we have a Marco Polo, you know, we connect with each other. And we have all our typical family dysfunction. But yes, to answer your question quickly, I'm in contact with every single one of my siblings, and I love all of them dearly, and they all are welcome in my home.
Oh, that's cool. That's awesome. So, I mean, I imagine many of you guys have gone off and got married. You had five kids yourself. So how big, if you guys were all going to get together at your parents' house, for example, how many people would that be with kids and spouses and all the things?
There's 50 grandchildren.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And actually, we recently, most of us were together, and oh goodness, I lost count after 75 of us. My father passed away, sadly, in just this last July. And so my entire family came for his funeral, and it was such a wonderful gathering. Wow. And it was so amazing to have all my siblings together under one roof. Yeah. It was loud, but it was fun.
Oh, wow. I just can't even imagine. That's awesome. It must have felt a little kind of like, I don't know, in my mind, I'm thinking like the pre-existence, or what it's going to be like after this earth, right? Where we're just kind of all different, but family, and there's just so many of us, and we just love each other, and we just want to be around each other and everything. So,
I'll tell you, there was this most, I wasn't planning on telling the story, but it's just this sweet little, it felt celestial to me. Our family had not had a family picture together in 17 years. It had been since the last funeral, since my brother had passed away. Oh. And I had a friend who was a professional photographer that offered to come take a picture that at a family dinner the night before the funeral. And, you know, you have to take it at the right time if it's outside. And it was right around sunset. And of course, it started raining. And I was just like, really? Like, we got to get, we need this picture. And I just said a little prayer. I was like, Dad, can you pull some strings for me? Heavenly Father, can this rain just stop just for a little bit so we can get some family pictures? And the rain stopped. And we were like, oh, everyone run outside. Everyone ran outside. And we took a lot of different groupings, all the grandkids, you know how it goes. And I kid you not, the second she took the last shot and everyone separated, it started raining again. But wow. During that whole experience, it was like, it was just heavenly. You could tell that we were surrounded by angels, members of our family that were on the other side of the veil. And it was just almost indescribable. It was just the most beautiful experience. And I know that it will be that way again. And I also had this beautiful experience of, you know, thinking of who would meet my father on the other side. And I'm like, how many parents, you know, the parents of my sisters who had passed on, like, I know that they were there to meet my dad. Because our families are connected in such a mm-hmm. beautiful way. And the gratitude that they both must, you know, all must have for each other.
Yeah.
So that's just a little side note there.
I'm glad you shared that. But, wow. That's amazing. So how were those conversations with your mom? And I know you have a couple other stories that you wanted to share about some other women and stuff too. So, but how were the conversations with your mom in regards to like the gospel? Like, how did she teach you guys, you know? Cause I mean, that's a lot of different personalities and I'm sure she had to kind of tailor it. Like we all do as mothers, sometimes we have to tailor the lesson to the kid, right? How did that look for you?
Well, for me, she was very much open to, it was very child guided, right? I needed my mom just to touch base with me once a day. And so at least that, you know, it's hard with all those children. And so every night I would come to her until the day that I left home and ask her to tuck me in. And she would come and we would pray together and just talk a little bit about the day. And that was what I needed. And it was very bonding for us to pray together each day. And even though it was just that little bit, it created a really strong relationship with us. But she was like that with each of her children, like whatever it is that you need, and it might be something different. That's what she was able to give, which it is truly a gift. She just knows how to be a mother. And I do have a couple stories that illustrate her mothering style. What I admired most about my mother was how she truly taught me how to react in tough situations, because there was lots of tough situations, especially how to forgiveness. Like our prophet just asked us to do this hard thing, right? To forgive. And my mom was so good at that. And this one story doesn't shed a good light on me, but it sheds a great light on her. Like I said, a lot of sibling rivalry. Me and my brother, who are 18 months apart, oh my gosh, we could not be in the same room without beating each other up. It was pretty bad.
Right.
And it was even worse in a car because we couldn't get away from each other.
Right.
And my mom would get so sick of it. And every now and then she'd be like, get out of the car, walk the rest of the way home. Most of the time it was like a half mile away from home. Well, one day in particular, we were really terrible. And my mom was just fed up and we were 7 miles from home. And she pulled that car over and she's like, get out of my car right now. And wow. I fought it and my brother fought it, but she would not move until we got out. And I mean, we were out in the mountains. Okay. It was safe. Don't worry. And so my brother and I got out and we were fighting mad. We were so angry that we had to walk 7 miles home. And we were teenagers. You would think that we would grow up a little bit and stop beating each other up. But we got home and I was standing in my room and she walks by and she's like, "How was your walk?" And I said, "Bleep off, Mom." I was I had never said those words to her wow. before. And I'm like, "Oh, I'm in big trouble." I was waiting for her response. And then she just started laughing. She was like, "Did you just say bleep off to me?" And she just laughed her head off and could not stop laughing. And I was like, "Oh, okay, I'll go with this." And it just smoothed out the whole situation and all was well. That truly taught me to just, when in those difficult situations, sometimes the best thing to do is just laugh. Even when you're like, "I'm justified in being angry, you snarky teenager, wash your mouth out with soap," whatever. That laughter I brought that with me as a mother.
Wow.
And the other experience, this is a little more tender one, but that truly taught me to forgive. Obviously my mom is a very non-judgmental person. And she's just had this insight, this intuition since she was very young of loving people, accepting people, and forgiving people. And there was a time that I went to her because there was someone that I was like, probably should forgive that person, but they don't deserve it. And, you know, they never asked for my forgiveness. So why would I forgive them? And I was being kind of angry about it. Right. And so I went to talk to my mom about it. And she shared an experience with me that truly, it's changed my life, honestly. She was 13 years old, so it kind of blows my mind that she had this wisdom as a 13-year-old, that there was someone who had really hurt her. And that person was much older than her and about to get married. And she wrote this person a letter, not because she needed to, but because as a 13-year-old, she thought, "I want to make sure that he can go on with life, not feeling any guilt, not feeling bound by anything in his past." And so she wrote that letter and sent it to him without her parents even knowing. And I was like, wow. To want to do that for someone, not for yourself, but because you don't want them to feel that pain, because you don't want them to feel that guilt anymore. Mm-hmm. And after she told me that story, I was immediately able to forgive the person that I felt like I couldn't forgive. And I've always appreciated that. And I will never forget that. And I hope that I'll remember it other times I need to forgive in my life.
Wow. Well, she definitely sounds like an incredible woman. That is so cool. So take us to, you have a few other things that you wanted to talk about, right? So,
I do. I have some other mothers that have blessed my life. Just, these are short little things that just I've always taken with me. The first one is actually, I told you about the family whose mother died of a heart attack in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. I never met her, but learned an important lesson through that story. Her daughter ended up being my roommate for a time at home. And it drove me crazy because every night the lights were on forever because she was writing in her journal. And one night I was really annoyed and I was just like, "Why are you writing in your journal every night? It's so dumb. You're going to want to burn that journal. What do you write about? Your boyfriends?" You know, like, I was just kind of criticizing her for writing in her journal. And she didn't say anything to me, but she opened up the back of her journal and pulled out this worn piece of paper and slowly opened it up, like just like as if it was a precious piece of gold. I don't know. It's just very precious to her. And she showed it to me, didn't let me touch it. And she said, "Do you see this? This is the only thing I have with my mother's handwriting on it." And it was like a grocery list. And she said, "This is why I write in my journal, because if anything ever happens to me, I want my children to have something of me. I want them to know me." Wow. I opened up my journal that night, and I did not miss a day writing in my journal until I went to college. And at that time, I was about 12 years old. And to this day, I'm an avid journal writer, and it's what has developed the writing skill in me. It truly changed my life. And an important lesson, like, our children, they want to know us. They want to know about us. And when we pass on, what a gift it will be to them to have some of those stories and that testimony, and even to see our handwriting. So that was one of the stories I wanted to share with you. Another one is actually something that Mary, the mother of Jesus, taught me. My vice in life has been self-acceptance and self-worth and believing in who God is trying to show me that I am. It just was like the concept that I was worthy and enough, just as I was, like, it just did not compute in my brain. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. I felt like God was like, "I love you because I love all my children, but I sure would love you more if you could figure this out, Amber." You know, like, conditional love. And no matter how much I was taught about God's love, I just didn't understand it. And I held myself hostage to these thoughts about myself that just weren't true. And I couldn't believe the words fully of my patriarchal blessing. And I would receive, like, these beautiful promptings while in the temple, while doing scripture study, about Heavenly Father's love for me and who he saw me as. And I was like, No, I'm sorry. I'm not that person. I just could not accept it. I thought that to be humble, I had to constantly trash myself. I had to constantly be, "I'm not good enough." That was humility. Mm-hmm. And then one day I was reading Mary's story when the angel Gabriel came to her. And when I came to the part where she was asked to do more than the Heavenly Father has ever asked me to do, one of the greatest tasks in the world, to be the mother of the Savior of the world. I can't even imagine that, being asked that. And how did she respond? "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And as I read that, the Spirit was like, that is humility. Humility is accepting the amazing and capable and beautiful and magnificent person that you are and saying, "I will do it. Whatever you ask, I believe it, I will do it, and I trust." And I was so grateful for that lesson from Mary. And ever since then, anytime the Spirit tells me how wonderful I am or says, "Look at this gift that I've given you," I'm like, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. I will do it. Whatever you ask me to do, Heavenly Father."
I and love so that so much. I was actually just talking to one of my best friends, and she and I were having this conversation. We ended up having this, like, 3-hour conversation. And it was just so great, because one of the things we talked about was how hard it is. And Scott, I don't know. I mean, it's Mother's Day, so we're talking about mothers and women and stuff like that. But I'm sure that men probably have somewhat of this same problem. But I know specifically for us women, it is so hard for us to take compliments. You know, it is so hard. We're constantly in our heads judging ourselves and like, well, we're not good enough for this. And I think it just like, it just expands when you do become a mom, because then it's not just like, the mistakes you're seeing in yourself. It's like anytime your kids make a mistake, you instantly go back to like, oh my, you know, like I'm not doing enough. I'm not teaching them well enough, or I didn't, you know what I mean? Like I didn't give them the tools that they needed, or they're struggling with this. And so it must mean that, you know, it's a negative for me. And I think that, it was really interesting because I went to this book conference and, the woman that put the book conference on, she had a rule when we were there. And she said, anytime you get a compliment, you have to say this sentence, you have to say, thank you, I know. So it was so, you know, it's so hard to even just say thank you, but like to have to say thank you, I know. And I had this moment where I had to say that in front of everybody that was there at the conference, you know, because I had been asking for help on something and whatever. And it was so hard. But then as soon as I accepted the compliment that was given to me, it was almost like I got a little glimpse of, you know, who it was that my Heavenly Father knew that I could be. You know, he's like, no, I gave you this talent. I gave you this gift. And yes, you're still honing it and you're still crafting and you're still learning and growing. But like, it's a gift from me to you. And so why wouldn't you say thank you? You know, why wouldn't you say thank you? Yes, you're saying thank you to someone for complimenting you on it. But at the same time, it's almost like saying thank you to our Heavenly Father. And I just kind of love that perspective of, you know, just being like, okay, Heavenly Father, you're showing me something in myself that might scare me and maybe I don't fully agree with it, but I'm going to thank you for it. And I'm going to say, here I am. Okay. You say that I can run a business. Okay. You say that I can write a book. You say that I can raise these children. You say that I can forgive someone. If you say that I can do that church calling or give that talk or eat healthy or whatever it is that you're telling me that I can do, I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to thank you for that. And so I love that perspective. And it's funny, I've heard that story. I've read that story so many times before, but just in the way that you kind of brought it to light now, I could feel the shift, this like perspective shift inside my heart. That's just kind of reminded me like, it's okay. You don't have to be prideful, you know, but you can be grateful, right? You can be grateful. So,
well, and I think, Mary think we've probably, mixed it up. Sorry.
You go ahead.
I was going to say, I think Mary, when the angel said that to her, I'm sure she had a lot of personal doubts and I'm not good enough, right? Like those thoughts probably went through her head to some degree, but she still was willing to just say, you know, I'm here. I'm willing to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think we get mixed up pride versus humility. Like I learned that actually when I say, oh no, you know, that's pride. When you are not accepting what Heavenly Father is trying to show in you, the gifts that he has given you, that's pride.
Right.
When you do believe in those things, that's humility. I had it completely wonky. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So the other story I wanted to share with you guys actually is about me as a mother. If anyone listening to this today is like, you know how it is Mother's Day. You're like, I don't want to listen to anything about Mother's Day because it makes me feel like a failure as a mother. Well, listen to this story and you will feel like an amazing mother. Because it was one of my not so greatest moments as a mother. So my husband was serving in the bishopric. It was Fast Sunday. And that just should say it all right now. Like I should be sequestered when I am hungry. It just is the way it is. I do not function well when I'm tired, when I'm hungry, just like a toddler. So yeah. It was Fast Sunday and I'm sitting in church and I have my two youngest boys on either side of me. And they decided that one gets one half of mom and the other one gets the other half of mom. And they like literally were like, this is the line. You may not cross my line for my half of mom. And they were literally like fighting over me. Like one would like barely put his finger over his, you know, the other kid's half. And the other would punch in. And I'm just like sitting there in the middle, like being jostled back and forth. And I was just like, and like push them off of me and just walk out of sacrament meeting and go sit in the foyer. It was enough of a scene that one of my friends came out there and she's like, are you okay? You just left all of your kids unattended in church. I'm just like, I couldn't do it anymore. And so as if that wasn't enough, we head home after church. Of course, my husband has to stay and fulfill his responsibilities. And I just really needed, I knew what I needed. I knew I needed to go straight to my room and just chill. And my youngest son, of course, my kids aren't going to, they were young enough that they're not going to fast for lunch. And my youngest son was like, I want a tuna fish sandwich. And I was just like, okay, okay. So I asked my oldest son, I'm like, will you please make your brother a tuna fish sandwich? And I'm going to go lie down. And I had already gotten all the ingredients out and taken the lid off the mayo. My oldest son like threw a huge fit, like, no, tuna's disgusting. I'm not touching that disgusting stuff. And oh, something within me snapped. And it was like an out of body experience where I was watching myself and I was like, Amber, don't do it. As I watched myself grab the open jar of mayo. And I'm like, what are you doing? The mess. Stop, Amber. And I chucked that mayo full force across the kitchen into the dining room. It slams into the dining room wall. Mayo hits the ceiling, hits the windows, hits the floor, like mayo everywhere. Gosh. And I said some choice words. I don't know why I'm telling these stories of me saying choice words, and said, clean up this mess. And I walked out the door. And of course, all my kids knew where I was going. They knew I was going to Nana's house. And while I was there, I was just getting phone call after phone call. Mom, we're so sorry. Please come back. Please come back, Mom. And it was funny when my husband got home, I still wasn't home. And he's like, my kids had tried cleaning up. They're like, he's like, why is the floor so shiny looking? They're like, I don't know. You don't know. They weren't about to tell him what happened. They thought they were in big trouble. But honestly, after that experience, I'm like, see, my kids still want me. They still want this imperfect mother who would swear in front of them and throw mayo across the room in a moment of weakness. And it's at that, those experiences taught me, like, if we aren't imperfect, then what do we need the Savior for? Right. Mm-hmm. And why are we trying to walk around pretending like we are these perfect mothers? You know, I even debated telling this story today, but I was like, no, I should tell it because I want people to realize we all have our terrible days as mothers. And thank goodness, because that's when we drop to our knees and we're like, Heavenly Father, I can't do this. I am messing up. And that's when He teaches us our most precious and valuable lessons.
Well, it makes you feel a better. I've definitely said some choice words. I think today, even maybe, where I just hit my limit, and then my kids are teenagers, and so they're like, language, and I'm like, they just took it right back on me. And I'm like, I know, it is definitely one of the hardest jobs, and you know, and I do want to kind of put this out there because I know that Mother's Day can be very hard for some women who haven't been able to bear their own children, right? That doesn't make you any less of a mother. I feel the most motherly sometimes when I'm serving in church, right? Like or if I'm in the grocery store, like I'm constantly, I don't know, I have this weird thing where I constantly am looking at all the kids and making sure they're with someone that looks like they're supposed to be with them. And you know what I mean? I think the title of mother, it is so sacred and it's so beautiful, but it truly can apply to all women. You know, when I think about how Eve was named Eve because she was the mother of all. I often feel that that is our call, right? Like we as women are called to be mothers to all, you know, unfortunately, sometimes even our husbands, right? Sometimes we need a mother, you men, but I do feel like it is definitely a calling and it's something that we can choose to be, whether we actually get to bear our own children or not, whether we get to raise children in our home, or if we're just an influence for them outside of the home. You know, I think that there is such a power behind the idea of being a mother, you know, and it's something that I just want the women out there who are listening today who might be struggling with the term mother, don't struggle with it. You know, your Heavenly Father has called you to be a mother to all. Be a mother to all. Take pride in that work, you know, and give yourself some grace on those days when you say those choice words and you throw mayonnaise all over the place, because it's hard. It is a very hard job. But it is so worth it. And there are so many blessings and you have no idea just how far your reach is actually going and just how bright your light is shining and just how, you know, I mean, like Amber, today you've shared so many great stories and stuff like that. And I think, you know, I think of your mom and I think of how, you know, would she have known at the time that you were going to, all these years later, be able to recall these little moments, you know, they were so impactful to you, even if they didn't feel impactful maybe in the moment. And so, this has just made me smile. This whole episode's just made me smile. You know, I know my greatest joy is definitely, you know, being a mom and having those nurturing tendencies and that ability to kind of see the needs of others in a way that I didn't really see before, you know, like especially when I was a kid and I was just kind of all about just whatever's going on right here, you know.
Yeah,
it is a beautiful, beautiful job and a beautiful responsibility and a beautiful blessing for us to be able to mother those around us. And so I just want to thank you for all of that. Like that, this was such a beautiful podcast today. I really appreciate your willingness to come on. But
absolutely.
Yeah. Any other last stories or thoughts or perspectives that you'd like to share with us today?
I will share just one for anyone who is listening, resonates with anything that I said, or is in that space in their journey where you're just like, not sure, like what kind of mother you're supposed to be, what kind of woman you're supposed to be, and having confidence in yourself. I'll just share with you this little vision, so to speak. It came to me at a time when I was kind of arguing with God, with some things in my life. And all of a sudden, this vision came to my mind. I was standing in front of an easel with a paintbrush in my hand, and I was painting, which was weird because I am not an artist. And as I grasped what I was seeing, I realized I was painting a self-portrait. It was a picture of me. And as I was painting, I was like, ooh, this is where I want the brush to go. And then a hand would lightly touch over my hand and try and guide the paintbrush. And I would just push back like, no, this is where I want this stroke to go. And then again, the hand would gently press on my hand and try and show me where the paintbrush was to go. And then I realized that was the Savior's hand trying to show me who I was. And I was just fighting against it. Like, no, I don't want to be that person. I want things to go this way. This is how I want to become that person. And it was just kind of like telling me, like, just, would you let me, just show you? And like, if we let him be the artist of our lives, I mean, I'm sure a much better artist could create a beautiful masterpiece better than anything I could possibly create. So if you're frustrated with something in your life right now, or not sure what this all means or why you're going through this struggle, trust in where the Lord is guiding you. Trust in that paintbrush stroke. Try and submit to it, and it will turn into something more beautiful than you could possibly imagine.
I love that.
I love that. And we don't often notice that until after the painting is done.
So true.
Yeah.
You know, as you were talking about that, I think about those videos that you see where, have you seen the ones where it's like the spinning canvas and they have a stroke here and a stroke here and stroke here? And then at the very end, it comes together and it's like this amazing piece of art. And you're like, what? Like, I just thought that was just like totally random, you know, but it kind of reminded me of that and reminded me that our Heavenly Father is not random. You know, He has a plan for each and every one of us. And so no matter where we're at as women of God, you know, He has a plan for us. And those brush strokes are divinely inspired, you know, they really, really are. And they're going to put the whole picture together, like Scott was saying, and it's going to be beautiful in the end. You know, we're going to be able to look at it and we're just going to be able to really appreciate everything that He has been there for us, through and everything that we've been able to walk through hand in hand and to learn and to grow through. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you so, so very much for coming on here today and for leaving us with a smile.
We love what you're doing.
and to our listeners, guys, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I know that you probably have lots of plans with it being Mother's Day and everything like that, but we definitely hope that today's episode brought a little bit of light and joy and happiness to your hearts and to your lives, that we want to encourage you guys to go out and to think about the women in your life who have had a mother influence over you and just kind of tell them thank you, you know, tell them thank you, tell them happy Mother's Day, write them a note, do a little something for them to make them smile. Because we could use it. Us women, we could use it. And especially on days like today. So we just want to thank you, you know, all of our listeners for tuning in. Amber, again, for being our guest. If you guys have a story that you'd like to share, please be sure to go over to LatterdayLights.com. You can fill the form out at the bottom of the screen. And do us a favor, leave a comment. We would love to hear a story of someone in your life who was a great mother. So, you know, leave a comment about Amber's episode or tell us, you know, who you'd like to kind of shout out today on Mother's Day. And maybe what they did for you or how they helped build your testimony or even just a funny story. So we would absolutely love to read those comments. So without anything else, Scott?
No, I just wished it didn't have to end.
I know.
I loved your stories, Amber.
It was fun.
And
yeah,
we really appreciate you being on the show. So I would maybe just say, maybe when you're thinking of somebody to thank for being a mom in your life, think of someone you wouldn't normally think about and reach out to them.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, we hope all of you have a beautiful Mother's Day, that you are filled with the Spirit, filled with peace, filled with light, and that you, you know, definitely do something that makes you smile today. So with that, we appreciate everything that you guys have done for us, our listeners. We appreciate you, Amber, and we will see you guys next week on another episode of Latter-day Lights. Talk to you later.